Hello everybody in H10 land, Hanshin Tigers English News. I am T-Ray, and this is episode 30, which I guess we could call episode Wakabayashi, who was probably one of the greatest number 30s in team history. We could call it episode Hirata. He's now chief coach, and he was a great shortstop for the team. We could call it episode Kyuji. We could call it episode Kubota, or we could call it Ishizaki. He's the current number 30 on the team. Anyways, enough of that. How you doing, Joe?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. It's great to have you on the show, as always. So before we jump into our usual show and dance here, let's talk a little bit about maybe the worst Koshien moment that you had or experience that you had. I'll get things started. I've actually had quite a few because I've seen the Tigers one hit. I've seen the Tigers be two hit. I've been to, I think, three shutout losses already. But the worst was last year at Interleague play against the Chiba Lotte Marines when we were up, I think it was 3-2 heading into the ninth inning. And with two outs, Seung-hwan Oh loaded the bases and then allowed a grand slam home run. So we lost that one 6-3. He had one pitch to go and he served it up in an amazing way. And that is my worst Koshien moment. How about you, Joe?
Wow, just trying to think back to my time at Koshien, it's been a while, so I think I've purposely blocked out all the bad moments, but I remember, you know, a couple losses against the Giants. Those are always hard at home, especially having all the fans around. So, I'd have to say it's probably just a loss to the Giants, but it's been a long time for me, so.
All right, well, fair enough. I mean, yeah, like you said, losing to the Giants is always a bitter thing. And speaking of which, I was at the game this year where we lost 1-11 against the Giants. And that was just hard to sit through, definitely. But when you got good seats and you got good company, you stick around as long as you can.
Yeah, I think I've had a couple games right behind home plate that were good. But I always enjoyed the outfield, the right field seats. So.
Yeah, I was going to actually bring that up as an intro topic maybe in the future. We can talk about that, just some different parts of the stadium and how the experience goes in those different places. So Absolutely. Let's do that another episode for sure. Anyways, on the show, we will talk about the series that have gone by. That would be the Giants series, mini series, single game, I should say, as well as the Bay Stars series. We will give our players of the week. We are going to talk about the batting order and pitching rotation. And then we are going to do the fantasy updates and predict the week to come. So stick around. We'll be right back. Okay, it is time for series recaps. Recap. Well, we had a two-game series slated for the Yomiuri Giants at home, but it rained all day Tuesday in the Kansai area, and so we did not have a game, which is unfortunate because I had tickets. I was going to see Fujinami on the mound. I was going to get a free clear file, or not clear file, but a file folder type of thing, which looked really cool. It's like the Tigers-Giants rivalry thing. I was going to get a free happy, which is like a Japanese kind of jacket. All that stuff was lined up for me, and instead all I get is a refund on my ticket. That stinks. Anyways, so that game was a wash, and then we went into Wednesday. We decided to stay with our scheduled Wednesday starter, Randy Messenger. They went with their scheduled Tuesday starter, whose name, fortunately for us, is not Tomoyuki Sugano, but it was someone, Taguchi. I forget his first name, but he actually pitched a complete game against us last time we faced him, so I wasn't looking forward to watching anyways. So this was a special day. It was Minoru Murayama Day. He was a legendary pitcher for the Tigers. He was number 11, and it was May the 11th. And so kind of as a commemoration of his uniform number, but also it would have been his 80th birthday had he still been alive. He passed away, I think it was 18 years ago already. And so really unfortunate, he died way too young. But anyways, they commemorated the day with the number 11 stitched onto their caps. This one did not end up as we had hoped at all, did it, Joe?
No, it was a tough one. We lost 3-1. Giving up only 3 runs early in the game, we're behind again in the early part of the game, so it was pretty tough to see. But, Randy had a decent game. He pitched 8 innings, gave up 6 hits, 5 strikeouts, 4 walks, and only 3 earned runs. So after 8 innings, that's a good outing. So we can't blame Randy for this one.
So let's talk about the nature of these runs, because it's definitely going to make up the meat of our discussion in this one. The Giants got a solo home run in the first inning, which kind of continues this terrible trend that we've had of late of giving up home runs in the first inning. I think this is 3 straight games that we've done it. Fortunately, each time it's been 1 fewer run. But this Hayata Sakamoto guy for the Giants, man, I don't like this guy, but he has been on fire lately. This is his third home run third home run at least this season against the Tigers. He got 2 in a single game last time, but he's just been hitting like crazy. And actually, it wasn't even a terrible pitch by Randy. It was a little bit high. I think it was a curveball that maybe didn't drop as much as he'd hoped, but it got sent into the left field stands. But the third inning is the one that we really want to talk about, right, Joe?
Absolutely. So we had runners on second, one out, and then we got a strikeout. So there's 2 outs, and then they got a hit into, I think, left field. And then runner Yamato was throwing to the bag, and this is where, if anybody's watched any bit of the news this week, you've probably seen that Haraguchi, got a great tag and got him out. But I guess that the game went into into a commercial. Was that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so I didn't have it on a commercial on my stream, but then you could see the umpires going in for a review after their manager came out and I guess, protested or told him that he should, look at the collision rule. So to set it up, it was a great throw by Yamato. Haraguchi was straddling the base. His right foot was probably in the batter's box, and his left foot was probably in the other batter's box. And there was a clear path to the plate. If somebody was sliding in there, he had a path to the plate. So,
and the guy was sliding in there. That's the thing.
Right. So he went right in, and it was just, looked real good. And the throw came just above his leg, and he caught the ball and dropped it on top of his leg before he made it to the bag, and it was out. So it was a great play. No major collision at all. He kind of slid between his legs, and that was, that was it. There was no collision. But then, the umpire comes out and calls him safe. And so it was just, mind-blowing for me to see that got called as safe, because there was no collision, and it was a collision rule is what they're calling it.
So the reason or the reason for the rule is they don't want to have collisions take place at home anymore. And what they've done is they've said that catchers are not allowed to interfere with the base runner. They must give the base runner a clear path to home base. And on the runner's side of thing, they're not allowed to make contact with the catcher. And the only way that this rule can be, or the only exception would be if the catcher, if the catcher makes
the act of catching.
He's in the act of catching them.
Right.
Yeah. Something like that. So anyways, in this one, Haraguchi positioned himself in the new quote unquote correct positioning for a catcher, which is in front of home plate, meaning that he's off of the base path completely. And he did that, but then he moved back in order to make sure that he cleanly fielded the ball. Keep in mind, like Joe said, this is a throw not from the infield, but from, probably halfway between the infield and the outfield wall. I mean, it was, a reasonably deep hit, I guess you could say. And Yamato fired one back. It was great, like Joe said. But Haraguchi got carried a little bit back into the line of fire, I guess you could say. But he also, I think he was very conscious of where his feet were, and he definitely made the effort to not be in the base runner's way.
Right.
And you, I think, like, if you watch the super slow-mo replays and stuff, it almost looks like Haraguchi's looking over at his right foot, like, am I in the way or not? And it almost seems like he moves his right foot a little bit just to make sure he's giving the guy a clean path. The guy is going to slide anyways. I mean, he's in that position. The player that's on, you know, waiting to hit next is already saying, like, get down, slide. He's got every intention of sliding. So there's not going to be a collision. I mean, if the guy had chosen to run through home plate,
yeah,
there would have been a collision of some sort. I mean, he would have ran into Haraguchi's leg. It wouldn't have been like a full-on collision. But anyways, the point is, there wasn't going to be a collision. There wasn't a collision. And they still called collision rule runner safe. So there's still two outs. Instead of being out of the inning 1-0, there's two outs, and now it's 2-0. And then Randy walked Sakamoto next. And then Garrett Jones got an RBI single in the next at-bat. And that one, again, it was not a clean hit. It wasn't a great hit. He lunged at it and managed to poke it between first and second base. So, again, Randy pitched a great game. It was incredible. I really think he fought hard after that call was reversed, which was completely bogus. But that really kind of killed the Tigers, I think. Like, I mean, it kind of took a little bit of the life out of the team because we didn't record a single hit again until the seventh inning.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, it really sucked the life out of the team. It was funny when the video I was watching had Haraguchi on the bench, like, taking off his mask and started to take off his chest protector that he, like, has it over his head, and he looks up and he sees the umpires and everything. He's going, what's going on? I thought we were done here. So yeah, it was kind of funny to see that, but it was just a kill, you know, buzz kill on the game. I really think that hurt us for the rest of it. You know, we had a good double play in the sixth. There was a grounder to Messenger and threw it to third for an out. And then there was the next one was a liner to first that Gomez caught and then touched first for a double play. So that was pretty good play by Gomez there. So,
and you know, I think actually earlier in that third inning, if I'm not mistaken, I think their pitcher might have failed on. No, it wasn't there. It was twice, though, that Randy ended up throwing out a runner at third base on a bunt attempt, I believe.
Yeah, there was a failed bunt, I believe.
Yeah, so it was some good fielding on Randy's part there for sure. The one other thing I want to talk about in this one, real quick before we move into the Bay Stars series, is the seventh inning for the Tigers, because Yamato led off with a hit, and then Fukudome fought. You know, he fought hard for his next hit. He slashed one into left field, but I think it might have been a 10-pitch at-bat. He kept fouling off pitch after pitch, watching a couple pitches go by. I really fought hard. Then Gomez fell down either 0-2 or 1-2 in the count when he was up with runners in first and second. He fought all the way back to earn a walk. So, I mean, just they were just battling for every base. Bases loaded. Haraguchi comes up. He battles through for a walk as well. That was with reliever Scott Matheson in the game at this point. So he walked home a run. So it's still bases loaded. No outs. Captain Toritani comes to the plate. What's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is not a strikeout, nor is it even a regular double play, because a regular double play would at least plate you a run. It is what Toritani did, which was a ground ball to pitcher. The pitcher threw it to home. The catcher threw it to first. That was the double play. It was a 1-2-3 double play. No run score. We still got a chance, but Uemoto came in and struck out to end that inning. But that was the real crippler right there, the Toritani grounder. And that got everybody a buzz about what's wrong with our shortstop, what's wrong with our captain. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show, Joe, about what we should do with Toritani and the streak and stuff. So we won't go in too much depth about that. But any thoughts on that play or anything else in this game?
I just say I just looked at the stats on Toritani after this week, and he has 5 errors, you know, which I think the most anybody else has is 2. He hit into 8 double plays so far. The most on anybody else in the team is 3, you know, so it's like, man, that's pretty, pretty bad. So
I believe he's tied for the Central League lead in double plays. And those five errors don't even count the ones that haven't counted as errors. And I could probably count at least three, if not maybe four or five, that he's gotten away with where they haven't called error, they've called hit. So his fielding is definitely below par, not below Toritani's par, but below anybody's par. Wait, below par is good. It's been terrible.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So, a good pitching outing by us, but again, the bats fail to show up. So it was
The umps failed us completely on this one as well. Cause that was really, really unfortunate. All right. Well, before we jump into the, Bay Stars, series recap, just one more quick thing to note. And that is that I believe it was between this series and the Bay Stars series, there was a rumor in the local press that the Oryx Buffaloes were pursuing Matt Merton. And I got real excited about that. I was like, oh, wow, Merton's coming back not only to Japan, but Kansai. And then later it was reported that, in fact, the Buffaloes signed Matt Clark. And so the press blew it. They weren't even talking to Merton yet. I actually talked to Merton. He said, yeah, I understand. That's how the media works in Japan. And so, it's just a mess up that they had. So obviously he's not planning anything anytime soon. But just an interesting note. Got everybody all worked up here for a little while and a little bit excited, but nothing comes of it. Okay, so we're going to jump into the Bay Stars series now.
Okay. Yep, I think so.
All right, for the second half of our series recap, we've got a special guest with us. As we did a few weeks ago when we talked to Stuart, the Carp fan, we've actually got a Bay Stars fan with us. And just as a preface to all of this, Mark and I actually put together a complete podcast episode previewing the Yokohama Bay Stars, but we ran into audio issues, so we were unable to put it out on the air for everybody. My apologies for that, and welcome back to the show, in a sense, Mark. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Trev. It's been real nice. I've been loving the following in your series this year. Really exciting, and I love the way that you guys are sharing the knowledge with others and the love of Japanese baseball. So it's been really fun for me.
It's a real pleasure to do, and I'm glad that you enjoy it, even if you're not a Hanshin fan. Now, tell us a little bit about your history of following the Bay Stars.
Yes, I started following them. My first Japanese baseball game was in 95. I went to Yokohama Stadium, and so I started following the Bay Stars then. Then I had a little break when I was following the Seibu Lions for about 3 years, and now for the past 8 seasons, I've been working as strictly as a Bay Star fan, really loving the Japanese baseball, and I've been a loyal member and of good standing in the Yokohama Bay Star fan club, so I'm an official member for a long time, and not many Americans or Japanese are fans of the Yokohama Bay Stars.
No, certainly. I mean, given their recent success, it's kind of understandable. And yet at the same time, I mean, they're a club with a lot of history. And, certainly they at least, in my history following the team, they've always had, some good players and maybe just not enough good players or maybe just not the right chemistry or whatever it might be. But so far, Mark, the Bay Stars are sitting in last place and they're kind of a distant last behind everybody else. But they've started to show a bit of life recently. So it's been interesting to watch them make a little bit more progress under Rami-chan, hey?
Yes, he's been I like Rami-chan. I think he's taken a lot of pressure off of the pitchers and the catchers. We've got a couple of young catchers there trying out, but his calling the pitches from the dugout has impacted our starting pitching even more. So I think it's going to take some time for everybody to get bought in on the Rami-chan system, but I'm excited how he's insisting that we play strong and tough from the pitcher, the catcher, short, second, and center field. So that's really, really a nice change of the Bay Star this year.
It's kind of, that solid connection right up the middle with some good defense all the way through that. Well, I mean, that's definitely been the key to success for a lot of teams in the past. So we'll see how it goes with the Bay Stars. And, you know, it'd be nice to see them kind of pull a bit of a reverse on what they did last year, where they plummeted at the end of the season after their strong start. Maybe they can do the opposite this year. Anyways, yeah. Let's jump into this weekend's action, as we had our three-game set versus your Bay Stars.
And, yes.
So let's talk a little bit about it. You were at the games Friday and Saturday, is that right?
I was there Friday and Saturday. So Friday's game, I was sitting eight rows up from the first baseline with some old friends from the U.S. came in, and me and him went to five games together for the Bay Stars. But we had great seats, and my friend from the States caught a foul ball, got a chance to give it to one of the kids sitting in front of us. It was really
nice.
Cool, yeah, real cool event and a lot of fun. And I really got a chance to. We kind of gave that one away to the Tigers after having such a strong outing from Eno. I was expecting Kubo, the old Tiger, yeah, Kubo, to be starting that, but Eno started. I think he did a great job, took it into through the seventh inning very, very strong. I can't believe they brought him out to pitch one out in the eighth, and that's kind of when things went wrong at the stadium there.
Yeah, exactly. So Eno was on the mound, as you said, for the Bay Stars, and we brought Fujinami, who was supposed to start on Tuesday, but because of the rain out, as we mentioned earlier,
yes,
he was unable to pitch in that one, and so he came in against the Bay Stars. And Fujinami actually looked the best he's looked probably all season, wouldn't you say so, Joe?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely a good start with him. Seven innings, seven strikeouts, two walks. We'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, certainly, given the way he's been pitching lately. So he went seven strong and allowed just the one run. And so it was 1-0 heading into the eighth inning, and that's really when the game opened up. As Mark was saying a little bit, so in the eighth inning, the Tigers ended up getting two runs to take a lead, and then in the bottom of the inning, we gave it right back, or at least we allowed a tie. But then in the top of the ninth, we got the winning run, and so we took this one 3-2. The winning pitcher in the game was Akifumi Takahashi, and the loser was the DeNA closer,
Yamasaki, the stamp.
He is just so loved in Yokohama, but he lost this one for them. So let's talk a little bit about some of the key plays in this one. First off, Mark, let's start with you. What were some of the key plays that you saw on your guys' end of things?
The big thing that I saw in this game, you guys had a couple of errors. One in the third baseman had an error in the first or second inning, and then you guys had another one of the pitchers had a Dolas, I think, had an error in that game. So there's a couple of times there where you let the Bay Stars get in and go. But most of the thing was the poor hitting for the Tigers until the top of the ninth. Then, what a shot. I thought it was going to clear the stadium. It was really a great shot out into left field that he hit.
So, yeah, Ryota Arai took the first pitch that he saw for a ride that seemed like it was never going to end. Yeah, I mean, he hit that ball deep, and he said himself in the Hero interview, I knew right from the moment that I hit it that it was leaving the park. And I'm sure everybody in the park knew that as well.
Yes, certainly where I was sitting for that game, no doubt about it. And it was really a heartbreaking after Yamasaki had a couple of saves in the series against the Dragons Tuesday to Thursday. So yeah, it's really a big a very big change. And I did get a chance to see the Tigers catcher, and I'm really hoping that we can steal him, because he's really got some physical tools there and real solid catcher.
Come on, you've got a couple of young catchers, as you were saying earlier. I mean, let us have ours, because we have been lacking catcher or needing a good catcher ever since Yano retired. So, I mean, this guy, Haraguchi, has just come through in an incredible way. Interestingly, though, Mark, you're saying this, and yet he went 0-for-4 in this game, and I believe he went 0-for the series.
He did.
You've probably got numbers on that, Joe. But, just to kind of recap what you were saying, Mark, Hojo committed an error in the first inning for us. Fortunately, it did not cost us a run, and then Dolis on a pickoff to first. I think he hit the base runner, and the ball caromed off into the foul territory. Pardon me, and that allowed him to take an extra base. So that one did cost us, because that guy ended up being the tying run at that point.
Yes.
But interestingly, I want to talk about another one. And Joe, I'm betting you have this in your notes too. It was an error that was not called an error in the second inning. And speaking of what Mark was saying about us having a great catcher, Haraguchi actually threw out the runner, the base runner who was trying to steal second. The only problem is that our shortstop, Toritani, did not squeeze the ball in his glove, and the runner was safe, and that runner ended up coming around and scoring, which was the opening run of the game. Want to talk about that a bit, Joe?
I don't know. Toritani again. No, it was tough to see that. So there was a couple plays this week that I would say were definitely, they should have been errors, but they weren't called errors for some reason. So
yeah.
And then the thing I had, and the interesting things to note about this game was, in, you know, Dolis came in the eighth and gave up a couple hits and a couple walks and had runners on first and third. Mm-hmm. And then Takahashi comes in and gives up another hit and gives up the actual tying run, but then somehow walks away with a win for the game. Yeah. I don't think you should be, you know, something should say, if you give up the actual, you know, the hit to give the tie, you know, I don't know if you should get the win the next inning.
So a couple of things about that one. The run ended up being unearned, despite the fact that, again, I think we mentioned this last week or the week before, Joe, where the pitcher is the one that commits the error, and yet the run does not go on his ERA record. And that's what happened with Dolis. But then also, I actually think that Takahashi deserved the win in a sense, because he faced Tsutsugo and Lopez after he allowed that game-tying hit.
That's true.
And he struck them both out. And so that was huge. I mean, that was like putting out the fire that Dolis kind of started. And yeah, he did allow the hit to, was it Kajitani, Mark, that got
yes,
the
hit? Yes, it was. No. It was Kajitani. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So that was just, I mean, that was a kind of an unfortunate inning. And yet, you know, Takahashi, in a way, did his job. But like you said, Joe, I mean, he did allow an inherited runner to score. And that's always a blemish on the record, any way you look at it. So, one other thing that I wanted to mention about this game, which I thought was interesting, was Gomez was the one who got the go-ahead RBI in the eighth inning, and he hit a double down the right field line. And when he reached second base, I don't know if you guys saw this on the replays, or Mark, you may not have seen replays, but yeah, he was pumping his fist and he was yelling something at somebody. And also, I noticed earlier in the game, I think when he struck out swinging in the second, I think it was the second inning, he looked back behind him, and I don't know if it was at the catcher or the ump, but he said something. And
It was to the umpire. Yes,
it was. Eh?
Yes.
Was it on a called strike earlier in the at bat, or do you know what it was?
Yeah, it was on a called strike earlier, the pitch before.
Okay, so he really didn't like the ump's call, and then when he struck out swinging, he kind of had something to say. But then later on, I mean, he definitely had something to say at from second base. And I don't think he was yelling at the ump, but if he was, he's kind of pulling a Bryce Harper, maybe without foul language. But
I don't
got that from the major leagues, but. Anyways, I just found that interesting. Just, you know, when they did zoom in on Gomez those couple of times, that he was saying something. So
yes, definitely.
But Gomez had a decent game. I mean, he went 2-for-4 with that clutch RBI. So, you know, Gomez continues to see his batting average rise, which obviously is a good thing for the Tigers, even though his RBI total was always, you know, always has been good this season. It's still nice to see his average coming up as well. Let's move on to the Saturday game, and the Saturday game had an interesting matchup, which actually mirrored the one that we saw 2 weeks ago in at Koshien, with Yuta Iwasada for us, and is it Shota Imanaga?
Shota Imanaga.
Shota, thank you. Okay, good. I'm starting to get better at this first name game. Okay, so last time that they faced each other, it was a tight scoring game, and Imanaga struck out 14, and the relievers came in and struck out two more. So the Tigers struck out 16 times in that game. So this one, again, was another fairly low scoring affair, but The Bay Stars got three runs in the second inning, and then we were unable to mount a comeback. We got one run in the fifth, and that's it. It was a 3-1 final. The winning pitcher was Imanaga. The losing pitcher was Iwasada. So it was the opposite of last time. Comments on this one, Mark, since you were at the game, what was your take on the action?
I was at the game, and after the great seats that I had on Friday night, I had the very top rows, row 32 of the Yokohama Stadium, and we had 100 people from Camp Zama, some from Atsugi, some from Yokota, and a lot from Yokosuka. So we had over 100 people at the game, two mm-hmm. sections of tickets, and the Bay Star tickets are selling so well, they don't want to give us the 1,000 yen discount very much because they can sell all the tickets out. But they gave us 100, and it was fantastic game, jumped the entire day, and it was really a fun one.
So you brought everybody to a winning game anyway, so that's kind of nice.
Yes.
You guys were in, were you in right field or in left field, or whereabouts were you?
We were up in the, between the foul line, between first base and foul pole.
Okay, so you got a good view, though, of Tsutsugo's home run then in the second inning, I guess.
Oh, God, yes. It was beautiful. Beautiful.
I mean, this is a guy, though, he's known for his power, and he definitely got all that one, but it was interesting because it was a line drive. It really did not get a lot of elevation on it, but it left the park in a hurry, didn't it?
It did, and it was a great game for the fans, and they were crazy the rest of the game, even though it was a pretty mild game the rest of the way.
Well, Yamasaki was able to redeem himself. He saved this one. He closed it off despite allowing a hit in the ninth inning. But, good for him to bounce back the very next day. Any comments on the Tigers side of things, Joe?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Iwasada, had in the second, he gave up that home run to start the inning and then kind of had a rough rest of the inning, I guess.
Yeah.
But eventually made it out. And then, it wasn't a horrible inning, but he did give up three runs. So then
the killer was when he walked their pitcher with two outs. And if he'd been able to get that out, it would have been a 1-0 deficit heading into the third. That killed him. Anyways, go on. What were you going to say?
I have my hit, my note on the RBI hit that they got the two that was almost caught. It kind of, they were, he was running up on the catch, I think, in the outfield.
I think Arai was going after, right, in left.
Yeah, I think it bounced like 5 feet in front of him.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was just tough to see that it was so close, and then they get two runs out of it. So,
and if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't a terrible pitch. Like, it wasn't a pitch left in the zone. I think actually the guy just kind of lunged at it and got enough of it to bring it into the outfield. Am I right, Mark? Or do you?
Yes. That's exactly what happened. He kind of lunged and took it out. I was very shocked.
So that was one of the things that I noted, and as you said, Joe, I don't think Iwasada had a terrible outing, per se. Kind of the victim of a bit of bad luck. Obviously, he did allow the home run, and that can't be taken back, right. And this definitely goes against him. But, the other RBI hit was kind of just a fortunate hit in a sense. I mean, I guess, more credit to the batter than fault to the pitcher on that one.
Yeah, and then it was kind of interesting in the fifth. So we get a couple runners on, we got a runner on first and second after Hataguchi got a walk, and then mm-hmm. here comes Iwasada's spot in the lineup, and Kanemoto pulls him and puts Kano in, and we actually get an RBI hit. It was kind of a big decision to pull him so fast because he only had, I think, 70 something pitches,
right?
And wasn't. He had one bad inning out of, four. So it's interesting to see Kanemoto come in and pull him right there. But, got us a run. And, it was a big move that could have brought the momentum back, but it just didn't have it the rest of the game. So
yeah, I really think Kanemoto was seeing this as we're not hitting the ball well today at all. Like through the first four innings, I don't remember. I think we might have recorded one or two hits or maybe none. And so it was just one of those like, hey, we need to try and get these hits when we have a chance to score. And I think that's why, one of the reasons he pulled them as well.
Yeah, we didn't have any hits before that inning. So
there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then in the seventh, Ando came in and got himself into a little bit of trouble. And I think that was the first time this year he's been pulled before he finishes an inning. Hmm. So Takahashi came in and finished the inning, got a fly out. So interesting to note that, because he's been pretty shut down this year so far.
Takahashi has played quite a bit. He's made a lot of appearances. And yeah, you're right. I mean, you're right about Ando. ERA is still zero. And this time Takahashi completely, did the shutdown and finished the inning cleanly. So fully bailed Ando out because his ERA could have taken a hit there. One more thing of note, Kyuji Fujikawa made his debut out of the bullpen in this one. It was his first time pitching in relief, and he got himself into quite the jam there as well. I mean, he allowed three hits, he pitched one inning, and the only reason he got out of the inning, which was the bottom of the eighth, was on that third hit to right field. Itayama threw a laser beam back to home plate. No collision questions in this one, Joe.
This one was
perfect throw, perfect, cleanly fielded by Haraguchi, clean tag, and we got out of the inning without any damage done, fortunately.
Well, I would say that Haraguchi was so far inside the baseline that he almost missed the tag, though.
Yeah.
Because he stepped up. He was probably 2 feet off the baseline, inside the baseline. And then the runner was coming around, and he was pretty far on the right side of the base, the outside of the baseline. And he had to reach pretty far to get him. And if he would have missed him, it would have been an easy score. So, I'm still against this rule. But
Oh, I hate it, too. Let's see. A couple other things I wanted to note. Shunsuke made a great catch in center field in the first inning. That was his first action in the field, I believe, since being called up. And, he's showing his worth in that sense. And as we'll get to in a little bit, I mean, he did record a hit in Sunday's game as well. So good on him. Arai also, thanks to his home run on Friday, earned himself a start. And surprisingly, it was in left field. And as we mentioned, he made an almost great catch. But he did play the field fairly well, considering it's not his natural position.
Yeah, but 0 for 4 at the bat.
Yes, yes. And also, one of those O's was on a really good chance when we had runners on first and third with one out, and he hit into double play. So that really crushed our momentum. I think that was in the sixth inning.
Yes.
And then one more note on this one. Toritani broke out of his huge slump in the ninth inning with a double. This double is the 300th of his career. And so I think he's like the 67th guy in NPB history to do it. So not so special. But hey, I mean, it's still a great milestone. I'm not going to knock him for it.
But he's been waiting for a month for this hit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember seeing signs for 299 in the outfield for a long time.
True that. Yes, indeed. So, finally he snapped out of not only his hitless streak, but obviously his extra base hit streak. And we're going to see a little bit more of that when we talk about Sunday's game. But before we jump into Sunday's action, Mark, any final comments about this one?
Yeah, the base starts keep hitting these home runs with nobody on base. We've got to get some runners in scoring positions so we can get some RBIs. So we really need to get that. We're going to need to get guys on. We need to move them over. We need to steal bases and push. So a lot of those. Susugo has 11 home runs now, and like 21 RBIs.
It's a
big difference.
Well, in his defense, he was the leadoff hitter, I think, in that one. So, but I know what you're saying. I mean, it can be frustrating when almost all the home runs are of the solo variety.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's jump into Sunday's action. We're Sunday night here, so it's today's action for us. In any case, we brought Atsushinomi to the mound, and you guys brought Mr. Yamaguchi to the mound, and we have faced him before, and you have faced Nomi before, so it's not like a new matchup by any means. But we jumped out to a huge lead in this one. We got three runs in the fourth, a run in the sixth, but then it was a combination Nomi and relief pitching, or should we say poor fielding, that gave the Bay Stars three runs in the eighth. We got one in the ninth, and then the Bay Stars tied it up in the bottom of the ninth. It's 5-5 score, and the extra innings went clean. No runs in those three innings, and so this one ends in a 5-5 tie. Any comments from you, Mark, about this one? You weren't at this one, were you?
I was not at the game, but I was in Tokyo. I went down to Tokyo Blue Note for some jazz, but it was 4-0. The only time I checked my scores, and on the way back, I saw it was 5-5. I was like, wow, what happened? So I got here, and I was checking out the score box, and it was like 3 innings of perfect free baseball. No score.
Yeah, so it just seems to be the trend of the Tigers of late to not do anything for the first half of the game, right? And again, this one is no exception, or at least for the first third of the game anyways, they did absolutely nothing. And this one could have been a lot worse, Mark, because the first run of those 3 was scored on a double play. It was bases loaded and no outs, and Gomez grounded into a double play, which scored 1 run. And then Toritani hit a 2-run home run. Very different from the other home runs we saw in this series. Hey, Joe, I mean, the Arai home run was like the longest hit ball that I've seen in a while. And then Tsutsugo's was just a screamer of a line drive, you know, a very cleanly hit ball. This one, Toritani hit down the left field line, and it barely cleared the fence.
I got it maybe 5th row up, so it wasn't as close as Tsutsugo's was, but it was definitely, it was up there a little bit.
Right. And I don't know, when it left the bat, I didn't think it was going to be a home run, but it carried, so good on him. It was his first home run in a long time. It was his 2nd of the season, and it kind of got the monkey off his back in a sense. I mean, he's in his first at-bat, he walked, I believe, and then this one he got the home run, and then later in the game he got another hit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then a foul fly and a grounder, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and he also stole the base. 2-for-4. Toritani had a great day. It was his first great day in ages, but, you know, it's good to see the captain make some solid connections and play some solid ball as well. At least it seemed that way to me.
Yeah, definitely. It was, good. Did see Gomez get his, after hitting that double play, I was like, oh, man, here we go. Another double play. We get 1 run out of this. Bases loaded, no outs. And it's like, oh, and then Toritani comes up and puts it in the stand. So I'm like, okay, that's a little better.
Yes.
Because how many times do we see, you know, we get a good chance and nothing out of it? So that was good. So then came up in the 6th and Gomez had a triple. And then Toritani came up and got a hit. So, and then a stolen base after that. So, yeah, a good start to the game. And then get into the 8th, and then it starts getting ugly.
Yeah, so in the 8th, Nomi allowed a couple of base runners, actually allowed his first run of the game, and he was pulled after 2 outs. And Takahashi, again, came in relief. Another attempt to put out a fire. And actually, he did the job. I mean, Kajitani hit a high fly ball towards first base, but really, I mean, it didn't even make it as far as the pitcher's mound, I don't think. And there was some miscommunication. Haraguchi pointed towards Gomez as if to say, hey, the ball's over there, catch it, because I'm not going to. And then Imanari came in, he was creeping in towards it, but he wasn't really even close to it. And nobody caught it, and 2 runs scored, because there were 2 outs, so the runners that were on 2nd and 3rd were... I mean, they were running towards home, not hesitating.
It was gross.
It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. I mean, what an awful way to blow a 4-1.
And it gets called a hit?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the exact thing. I think because nobody actually made a play on it. And that's the funny thing about ERA. It's such a fickle thing. I mean, like we were saying, so Dolis didn't get charged with the run earlier in the week, even though it was his error that brought the run in. And then Fujinami got charged with the run, even though it was Toritani's error, which was not called an error, which allowed the run to score eventually. And then in this one, again, Nomi gets charged with 2 runs, and despite the fact that he wasn't even the pitcher, and also the fact that it was the fielders that completely blew it. So, you know, ERA is just such a poor measurement of a pitcher's performance. I mean, if you just look at the bottom line, it looks like Nomi didn't have a great day. It looks like he had an average day, but in fact, he had a great day.
Yep.
So, Mark, any other comments? I know you missed the game, but you must be happy to hear that your team fought back from a 4-1 deficit and then a 5-3 deficit, right?
Yeah, I was very, very shocked. I couldn't believe it was the same old Bay Stars. I think the best thing happened to the Bay Stars all this series is that Takahashi is not starting at second anymore. So that's another good thing for the Bay Stars. We're going to be much more serious about winning now.
All right. Well, you know what? I wish you guys all the best the rest of the way, Mark. Obviously, I don't want you guys to win the pennant because I'm a Tigers fan. But, you know, I did predict the Bay Stars to finish third this season, and I still hope they do as long as the Tigers finish higher. We're going to wrap up the series recaps right now. But again, Mark, thanks for joining us. And, you know, hopefully later in the season we can do another one with you, maybe after another one of these classic Bay Stars Tigers series.
Hey, I love it. Thanks a lot, and I really appreciate it. And I'm with Wayne Grasek on this. Bay Stars are going to go first and win it all. Okay. Take care.
I'll buy you something if that happens. I'm not sure what. But anyways. All right. Take care, Mark. Thanks again.
Okay.
See ya.
Out of here. All right. Take care, Joe. Yeah.
We are back, and we are going to talk about...
Every week, one Tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the Player of the Week.
That's right, Player of the Week. Okay, so this was a really tough week to choose one player that stood out. And not because it was hard to choose just one, it was hard to find one. Wouldn't you say, Joe?
I asked if we could just skip this week.
not a bad idea, but just out of respect for the guy or guys that actually did put out a good performance, let's choose one. If you want, I'll go first, just to kind of change things up a little bit. Honestly, I'm not going with a hitter this week because our hitting has been completely anemic, and we are going to jump into that in our special topic in a little bit. So I'm going to give it to a pitcher, and I'm going to say thank you, Shintaro Fujinami, for finally showing us your true self and your dominant self. Fujinami allowed one run. It was considered an earned run, but it shouldn't have been. He pitched really well for seven innings. He didn't allow too many walks. I was kind of disappointed that
he
didn't challenge Tsutsugo. Both of those walks were to Tsutsugo, and they seemed almost intentional, which shows me that his control is, you know, much better. And, you know, he didn't strike out an immense a number of players or anything, but he did. I think he went just over 100 pitches in those seven innings. So good on him. I just think he deserves Player of the Week this week. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, I'm with you on a choice on a pitcher, but Fujinami, you know, for me, I'm going to need another outing, and then I can get back behind him. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how that goes. Yeah. But you know, I went with looking at the batting this week. You know, we had one batter, or actually two batters that went over 300, but Cano had one for two, so I'm not really going to count that as a pinch hit there. But Gomez had 357 for the week, 5 for 14. Nice. So he not too bad, actually. Two RBIs, four strikeouts, and three walks and a home run. But, you know, in a silent week of everybody else, there was, you know, an 0 for 15 with Hataguchi. There was a 1 for 9 with Yokawa. It was, you know... 2 for 10 with Itayama. It was just low all over the place. So
yeah, Fukudome has
2 for 14
either.
Yeah,
for sure.
2 for 14 Fukudome. So you know, Gomez was kind of the shining star on the batting side, other than Toritani's last game there.
Right.
So you know, I'll give it to Gomez this week.
Well, so far I think Gomez is running away with the Player of the Week titles, but I'll agree with that. I mean, Gomez definitely is hitting the ball well. He's bringing his average up. You know, he hit his first home run in a good while there, couple of clutch RBIs, so good on him. We'll go with Gomez there. Nice. Thank you. Okay. Let us move into the special topic. And interesting thing about this Kanemoto Tigers team, we've played 41 games, and according to what I read online, today's lineup marked the 31st different lineup that Kanemoto has employed. And that doesn't count starting pitchers, that counts 1 through 8 hitters. 31 different varieties in 41 games. So obviously he's shuffling, he's experimenting, and I don't criticize him for that. I think now's the time to do it.
Absolutely.
Especially as a new manager, and especially, you know, early in the season, and especially using as many rookies as he has. But I want to talk to you about what you think might be the ideal lineup moving forward, because we're getting to the point where maybe it's time to try and solidify things or try and stick with one lineup and see how it goes.
Yeah.
So we've had a bunch of different guys, like I said, all over the lineup. So who do you stick where? Is there anyone that you call up and plug into the lineup immediately? Is there anybody that you farm? Do you want to go first, or should I go first on the rundown of the lineup?
We can go together. You want to do like which position, or you want to do it separate? It's fine with me. But
okay, we can do position. I've actually got two patterns. I've got two possibilities, but
yeah, I went through like four, and then I have one final one that I kept. So, I didn't think about pulling up anybody from the farm. I kept the team as is. But obviously, if we're doing that, I'm pulling Haig up right away. So.
Okay. Well, I pulled Haig up. I took that liberty, but.
All right, so I didn't. So there's one of our differences. But
okay, but I mean, just given how poor the batting has been lately, I think now it's been seven straight games that we have failed to reach double digits in hits. Yes. And even double digits in hits is not an incredible average. I mean, it's 10 for 37 at the end of the day, unless there's been double plays or whatever. So, you know, it's still not a great average, but, you know, we were worse than that. So I pulled up Haig, but okay, so let's go... let's go top to bottom. You can go with your number 1 through 9, or 1 through 8, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I'll do mine.
All right. So I have Torii leading off, and that's because of the on-base percentage. You want that runner out there to start with, and, you know, his hitting has been, you know, on and off, but he definitely can get the walks. So yeah. I'm going to put him in first, and then I'm bringing up Yamato to bat in second. Okay. He's got a decent batting average. Then Takayama, Gomez, Fukudome, Haraguchi, Hojo, and Itayama is my current rundown.
Okay, you've got Hojo playing second, is that right?
Shortstop.
Well, where's Torii playing?
I move him over to third.
Oh.
A few less errors.
Oh, there you go. That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to play in the same position every game, right? As long as he plays. So yeah. I took the liberty and pushed him off to third.
Interesting. Okay, so you got Torii at third, you got Hojo at short. Yamato, you're putting at second, is that right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Gomez at first, obviously, and then your outfield was, you had Takayama and Fukudome
and then Itayama.
Itayama, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but I guess if Haig is in there, then I can bring Haig, you know, so, but, yeah. I guess Haig's infielder, right?
So right, yeah. Yeah.
That'd shuffle all that up, so.
But. Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll give you my first take, and then I'll do my second take after that. And this one is, I don't know. I don't know what anyone's going to think of this, but we'll go anyways. I'm putting Uemoto in the leadoff position at second base. I don't know if he's ready for that right away, but he may gel there just like he did in 2014, where he really took to it. And I like that he can take a good number of pitches. He does walk a decent amount. He does have a little bit of pop, and he definitely has speed. So I think those are all good combinations at the top of the lineup. I put Yamato batting second and playing in center field. Again, this is a guy with a decent average. And if we need the bunt there, which recently we haven't, and that's good, then he can do it. And if we don't, I think he's patient enough to give Uemoto a few pitches to maybe try and steal second. Then I've got Haig in at third in the order and at third base. Gomez at first, batting fourth. Fukudome in right, batting fifth. Takayama in left, batting sixth. And the reason I drop him down is maybe fatigue factors and just to give him a little bit of a little bit less pressure. Because I think there is a little bit of pressure batting at the top of the lineup. Then I've got Haraguchi batting seventh and Torii batting eighth. and one caveat on that, yes, he does walk a lot, and definitely this will probably increase his walks because people will probably walk him in order to face the pitcher, at least early in games. But I don't know. I mean, if he hits like he did today, Sunday, maybe he needs to be a little bit higher up. But if he does not improve, then maybe he needs to stay in eighth. But also, I mean, just to kind of give him a little bit of a physical break, you know, bringing him up to the plate one last time per game may give him just that little bit of extra rest that he might need to keep himself a little bit more healthy. So that's my reasoning behind that.
Okay.
So I also want to talk a little bit about the starting rotation. And the reason is because we moved QG into the bullpen and Iwata's still down on the farm. So really we've got our front four. I think they're kind of unmovable, right? We got Fujimori, Messenger, Iwasada, and Nomi, who I don't see them losing their spot in the rotation anytime soon, unless something drastic happens. But who do you think we should put in fifth and sixth? You got any thoughts on that?
I have Yokoyama as definitely a next fifth candidate. Okay. And then the sixth, I have question marks written down because I have no clue. Because there's not a lot there. I was looking back at our history of this year, and there just really hasn't been anyone there that can bring it. Because Yokoyama had a good outing, so he deserves another try at it. But I really don't know. I mean, I didn't look at the farm too much. Is there anybody on the farm that you see that could fill that spot?
Well, I'm going to branch back to last season, the season before, and also I guess a little bit the farm. Iwazaki was our fifth starter in much of 2015 as well as part of 2014, and he did a decent job, and I think he's maturing. He does definitely have health issues, and that's the that's one of the things that's kept him off the Ichigun roster, but I think he's just about ready to come back because this past week he threw, I think it was 7 shutout innings in his outing. So I've got him in as the sixth starter. I also have Yokoyama as the fifth. And I don't know if he'll last there, you know, fully, you know, full time, but the interesting thing about that lineup, if we do that six, we've got 4 lefties and 2 righties, which really doesn't mean much unless you're Wada. but I also have his potential backups. Iwata might make his way back up. I think he will. I hope he will. So he's a possibility. Moriya, who had one pretty weak outing, but he's been pretty good on the farm. He's another possibility. And then I think it was yesterday or the day before, Takumi Akiyama, who did get a couple of starts last year as well. He threw 7 shutout innings in his farm outing as well. So he's another possibility. So those are just some names for everybody out there to kind of keep their eyes and ears open for, because they may be called up at any point moving forward. So that's that. Any other comments or any other thoughts maybe about the bullpen or anything like that you want to kind of shuffle around? Or
I mean, the bullpen, you know, it's been pretty decent other than you know, Takahashi's kind of given up some inherited runners, so I don't know if he's necessarily the first relief I'd bring in. But you know, everybody else has done pretty well. You know, Mateo had a blown save, you know, second of the year, I guess. But, you know, we're going to brush up and we'll be fine off of that. You know, so far into the season, you can have, you know, your nights off. And so we'll give them to that one. But, you know, I think the bullpen's pretty solid, to be honest.
You know, it's looking better than it has for much of the season. And it's looking better than it did last year. So, yeah, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and the green light to go forward as is.
But you pulled Dolis, right, to bring up Haig?
Oh, that's right. Of course, yeah. And again, that's not a knock on Dolis. I don't think that he's done really poorly. But, you know,
the bats are more important at this point.
The bats are definitely more important at this point. And really, like, one of the big reasons that we dropped Haig in the first place is because the bullpen was such a sore spot. And now that that's kind of found a little bit of stability, maybe it's time to bring our bats back up to par, because they definitely aren't there right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Right on. Let's move into the Fantasy Tigers update.
Don't you want it? Can't you feel it? Your fantasy. Tigers fantasy.
What's up? Jimbo here. My guys are finally turning around. Great to see Toritani swinging away, getting some great hits. He's had more slumps than anything this year, but hopefully this is the time that he finally gets a good average. Keeps going. Other than that, my bats are pretty silent, a hit here or there, but my pitchers are doing well now, especially my relievers. getting flawless innings. Well, at least no earned runs in those innings. But poor Zorni, poor T-Ray, Iwasada finally showed some, what, weakness, I guess you could say. That's not great for the team, but especially hurts Zorni. Ah, poor guy. And T-Ray had two wins going in. Great games by Nomi and Fujinami. The relief gave him away. Thankfully, one win, the Tigers pulled it out, and I got the win with my reliever, Takahashi. But two, that's got to sting, T-Ray. I told you that my guys were coming back, and now it's on.
Don't you want it? Don't you need it? Your fantasy. Tigers fantasy.
Hey, everybody. This is T-Ray, and this is your Fantasy Minute. Well, it seems like Kanemoto is ruining my fantasy team. Thanks a lot, Aniki. Thank you for calling up Yokawa and Uemoto and Arai Ryota and taking all of those fat stats away from me down on the farm. Thank you for dropping Egoshi and Yokota and giving them all sorts of beefy stats on the farm too. But I hate to say it, Zorni. I hate to say it, Jimbo. You're too far behind. You're not going to catch me, even if your guys do well on the farm, because Jimbo, Fukuhara stinks. Zorni, Dolis is starting to stink it up too. Meanwhile, Fujinami's starting to find his game again. Look out. Nomi pitched a good one today too. Look out. Akiyama pitched a good one on the farm. Look out. Iwazaki did too. So you guys, my quality numbers on the farm, all of my pitching numbers are starting to go in the right direction, and you guys are going to get cleanly swept by season's end. Good luck. Catch you guys later.
It's here now. You just listen to your fantasy, your Tigers fantasy.
Hey, everybody. It's your boy, Zorni, here with your weekly fantasy update. And this week, my Ichigun team really let me down. But you know what? Why should I bother? When you have the man, the fortress, the machine, the battleship, Yamato! Yep, he's still on fire and carrying this team on his shoulders. Now Jimbo is bragging just because his Toriboy hit some balls the other day? Come on, man, you better than this. Who's Toritani when you have Yamato on your team? And Theory, keep that in mind. It's a long, long season, man. You can have all the power batters in the world, but the All-Star break is coming, you know that, and things will change, I promise you that. Anyways, now the real surprise this week is on my Nigon team. Both Egoshi and Umeno hit some long balls, stole some bases, and got themselves RBIs. Nishioka is already playing, which is a really good sign, and showing a lot of speed and power. We really miss you, buddy. We really miss you, Nishioka. And that's pretty much it for this week. And stay tuned on H10 Podcast. See you next time.
Okay, thanks, guys, for that. Again, keep following that on the website. And really, one of the other benefits of this Fantasy Tigers League is that if you want to know how guys are doing on the farm, and if you check the fantasy updates online, you can see more or less up-to-date stats on all of the farm players. And so you can kind of see how everybody's doing down there.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes.
Let's talk about the week to come, Joe. Have you had a chance to look at the upcoming schedule or anything like that?
Yeah, we got, I believe it's a full week at home. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got the Carp on the weekend, and sorry,
Chunichi.
I haven't looked at the schedule.
Chunichi.
Chunichi for the first half of the week.
Yep, and
okay?
Then the Carp second half.
And then
half.
We've got the Carp second half.
Mm-hmm.
So, last week, I know we had five games, and one of them was rained out, and so our predictions are already awash right there. But we both said 4-1, and the tail of the tape says, no guy, 1-2-1. So, obviously, our predictions were terribly off. Let's try and bounce back with a better prediction this week. What say you, Joe?
I'm going to go with 3-3. We're going to win the two against the Carp. We're going to drop two to the Dragons. That's my guess.
I'd like to see us take two out of the carp for sure. Interestingly, somebody had mentioned that we have not had any 4-win weeks yet this season. Wow. Our best record, I think, is 3-2-1. Unless you count, I think there was one in which we had a rain out, and I think we might have gone
3-2. Yeah, something like that.
3-2, something like that. So we haven't had a 4-win week, and actually our record at home right now is, I think, 2 wins below .500 at Koshien, I should say, not at home. That's pretty terrible, and that doesn't bode well for this coming week. I honestly think unless we pull Haig up and bolster our hitting, I think we're going to continue to struggle at the plate because it seems like we're just not able to manufacture runs the way other teams do against us. And, you know, as we talked about in our recaps, a lot of the times these guys on the other teams, they're not getting clean hits. They're not, you know, smacking the ball really hard. They're lunging at these bad pitches and just poking them over the infield. And we really haven't done that this year. Partly maybe because Kanemoto's telling our guys to swing hard and swing fully and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, until we can do that, we're maybe not going to be able to manufacture enough runs to win a lot of games. I'm also going to go 3-3, but I'm going to do oppo on you. I'm going to say 2 against the Dragons and only 1 against the Carp, unfortunately. I'd love to see us beat down the Carp, but we just haven't been doing well against them for a good long time now.
Yeah, so we haven't faced them for a number of weeks, so hopefully that'll get it out of our system.
That's true.
So,
yeah, and I think Kuroda is still out of action, so that is nothing but good news for us, as long as he's not coming back on the weekend.
Yeah.
All right. So that does it for this hour. I think we've actually gone over the 1 hour mark once again, but I hope you all enjoyed the show. Joe, it's been fun chatting with you. Any plans for the week to come or anything exciting going on?
Not too much for me. I'm going to be watching baseball and going to work. So,
you know, well, that's the good life right there. Hopefully I'll be able to do the same. I mean, you know, as someone who's covering the team, I'm doing my best to catch as much of the action as I can. And so, yeah, we're just going to keep on keeping on. Thank you once again. If you'd like to reach us, same connections as always. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit me up on Twitter at The Hanshin Tiger. Send us an email, podcast@thehanshintigers.com. Give us some questions. Give us some feedback. If you have comments about the team, go for that. If you want to send us your ideal lineups or your ideal pitching rotation, by all means, send that to us. We would love to put that on the air next week. In the meantime, enjoy your baseball, and we'll see you in 7 days. Bye-bye. Don't worry.